Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational programming. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. In fact, we're going to split the show up because we're also going to go into a Bible study. So around 7:45, between 7:45 and 8, we're going to do a Bible study. We're introducing that, and that will run from 8 to 8:30. You know, anywhere from 7:45 to 8, and then it will conclude at 8:30. This programming, depends on the nature of it, may extend a little bit over into the Bible study, but we're introducing a Bible study that will take place on select Friday nights. So you'll have to stay tuned for either my Thursday night show or the Friday night show to find out exactly when the Bible studies will take place. So, you know, we'll always begin our Friday evening program. I want to invite the Lord's presence into this. Father, we thank you for all of your blessings, and we pray now that you would come into the midst of this broadcast and your mission of ministry will take forth and manifest your glory. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, so tonight we're going to also be on Facebook Live. Many of you all have been asking, and we are back on Facebook Live so that people will get an opportunity to take on their share of listening to the story. All right, I want to be able to bring in Lady Love. Let me just go to 239-315. Are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Walker.
Okay, Lady Love, it's so good to have you this evening. I want to welcome you. I trust that you're doing well. And tonight's topic is, should you judge someone because of how they get their praise on? So let me begin by asking you, Lady Love, what does praise mean to you? Let me just begin by asking you that. What does praise mean to you?
Praise means to me when I take the time out to worship God, give him thanks for all that he has done, for all the things he hasn't done, and for all the things that he will do. So that's my moment to give God thanks for doing all that he does for me.
Okay, so you're saying here, I'm hearing you, and you're saying for the things he's done, the things that he hasn't done, and the things he's going to do. So, you know, I think about that the same way, that we've got to even thank God for what he hasn't done for us, because it could be in our best interest. More than likely it is. So do you, when you say, well, God, I prayed for this, it hasn't happened, I just thank you for not letting it happen, because it's possible that you said no or not now. What are your thoughts on that, Lady Love?
Well, that's when I thank him the most, when he says no, because sometimes what I think is good for me, he knows that it's not, and that's when he stops me from making a mistake. So when he says no, I give him the utmost praise, the most. Yes, I'm thankful for the things that he does do, and I'm thankful for the times when he gave me a way out of no way. But the times when he actually says no, that means he cares for me even more.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, we want to hear from you all tonight because we're asking you, should you judge people because of how they get their praise on? We're going to go to the phone lines momentarily. Let me respond to that question. I don't think that any of us should do any judging at any time at all anyway. And then, you know, specifically when a person is trying to get their praise on, and I know oftentimes in our various churches, people get their praise on differently. So you see a person that may stand up because the choir is singing or the preacher has said something that was really so real in that person's life. And all of a sudden they're standing up and they're just waving their hand and they're getting their praise on, or they're shouting, you know, across the in the congregation. They're just shouting and like, praise you, God. Yes, they're crying out. And sometimes you may find people who are actually judging these people and saying, why don't she sit down, or why doesn't he just sit down? They know they're just showing out. They want to be at the club. Do you think that that's passing judgment, Lady Love? And then we're going to go to the phone line.
I do believe that's passing judgment because they did not walk in that person's shoes and they do not know what that person had to overcome and what God has done for them. So you should be able to praise in any form or fashion that is respectable to God. No one should judge anyone. You're walking out of love when you judge people. So I feel I should be able to praise them as loud, as strong as I want to, because that's how good he is to me.
Amen. I agree with you. I agree with you there. We're going to ask you to stand by a second, Lady Love. Let's go to 347 and then, Lady Love, when we come back to you, maybe you have a scripture that you can share with us. Let's go to 347-740. Welcome. You're live on your one-hour inspirational program this evening.
Hi, Dr. Walker. It's so nice being on the program this evening. This is Monica.
Monica, thank you for joining us. It's so good to have you. Monica, let me just ask you, do you believe that it's right for us to judge someone because they might be doing their holy dance in the church, and then you might hear people giggling and saying, oh, they just want to be on the pole in the club? What are your thoughts on that, Monica?
Have mercy. I think you're talking about me, Dr. Walker. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not that he might not be judged. Another text I just don't remember where it's taken from, but it says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let me tell you, I was born and reared in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and everywhere I go, people always ask me if I'm a Pentecostal, and it's just
okay.
Because I'm one of the I'm one of the loud praisers. There are silent prayers because, like the caller just said, we don't know what people go through. People deal with things differently, but I'm one of the loud praisers. Everybody knows, you know, that God has done something for me each week. And it's each week, so everybody know I'm like, hey, I just can't keep this in. I have to get it out. We cannot judge. Some people are silent praisers. I know I have friends. Sometimes they look at me. I've had friends who actually tells me to sit down, and I'm like, girl, if I sit down, you're going to be having some fire right up in this place. So let me stand and just praise my Jesus, because you really don't understand what he has done for me this week. So, no, we should not judge. We should not judge because we are all sinners saved by grace.
Amen. Amen to that. It's interesting that you we're going to go to 786489 in just a moment. It's interesting, Monica, that you mentioned that about Pentecostal. I've had an opportunity to visit a number of churches as I've studied the major religions in the world. And I've found in my experience that some of the Pentecostal people, and I'm not taking away from any other denomination, they're some of the happiest people, it appears, in getting their praise on. I mean, they just, I've gone in there, and it's like life. It's like the spirit is caught up in there, and the people are just into it, you know. And certainly, I didn't look at that. My judgment would have been like, this is a nice place to be, to get your praise on, because everybody's like giving their praise. So I agree with you. I don't think it's right for any of us to do any judging. Let's go to 786 South Florida 489. You're live on your 1 hour inspirational program. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
This is Stephen. Good evening, Dr. Walker and all the listeners. Praise the
Good
Lord.
Good evening, Stephen. Amen, amen. Stephen, what do you think about people who might think that somebody is up there praising and they're shouting across the stage and they're judging them and thinking that they really, you know what, that's the pole dances that they do at the pole, you know, at the club?
Look, Dr. Walker, let me tell you this. I was raised in a Baptist church. Have mercy. And it was a lot of praising, flipping and turning, emotional. I mean, I was an usher, and they was running up to me, and they wanted me to catch this lady. I let that lady go because she was flying. So people have strong emotions, and we don't know what people have been through, what God has done
Absolutely.
For them. It might be a loved one, got somebody through cancer or leukemia, and the lives are saved. We don't know what feelings they have. Now, I say that and I also say there were a few sisters that was praising and shouting that wanted attention. This is it in the church I was raised up in. They wanted some attention and wanted somebody to see them flipping and hollering and screaming, trying to get attention, dress flying up all over, going through chandeliers. But the most of the people have experienced something. And when you have experienced something that God has done for you, you want to shout
right.
and joy. We shout and holler at a football or basketball game. Oh,
dunk right, exactly.
LeBron dunked it. Boom. So if
right.
God has done something good for us, we can praise him. You know, I mean, if it's real, you praise God, man. Or when LeBron do a dunk, whoo, bang, dunk. And stuff, but we, you know, that makes people feel good. So individual people have certain things that's been done for them by the Holy Spirit and God, and they praise them. Now, some people are mild mannered and they're not emotional, so they won't get hyped up. Everybody's different, so everybody has different ways of praising. But don't knock a person because they jump up and say hallelujah. God has been good to them, and they don't have a problem expressing themselves. For some people, won't express themselves because they might be arrogant, uppity, or whatever, but that's on them. So don't have a problem with people expressing themselves.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Stephen. Do you think that if you hear someone whispering and just so happen that you hear them on your row where you may be sitting in church and they're laughing, it could be a young group of kids perhaps, should it be our duty as the mature adults to reprimand them in a loving way and say, listen, that's not nice to do? Or even if it's some young adults or even other adults, what should our position be, if any? And then, Lady Love, we're going to bring you in with a scripture and ask you the same question. Go ahead.
I've experienced that, in fact. It was a while back, and the people was shouting, jumping high, and some young, they was a little bit older than in their 20s, saying and laughing. And I scooted over close to them, you know, and reached back and said, look, I actually say, look, they was laughing. They didn't understand. They haven't experienced. I said, you don't know what that lady has been through emotionally, through death, marriage, trauma, car accident. You don't know what God has done for you. So don't be laughing and criticizing because you don't understand. And one day you will understand when God does something great for you. So that was the experience I had where they go over giggling and hollering and screaming and chuckling at the lady. So I just verbally say something to them, but you need to watch who you say to because they might go off on you or something. It ain't nothing
you're
doing.
Absolutely.
I did say something, and they understood, and they were, you know, pretty good young adults, and they understood it.
Right, right. Absolutely. See, we're going to ask you to stand by. Lady Love, let's bring you back in, and let's see if you've got a scripture that supports us on should we judge someone based on because of how they get their praise on? And then the same question for you. What, if anything, should be our position to reprimand or correct someone or even to say something to someone that may be judging someone who's getting their praise on?
Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in the darkness and will expose motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. The reason why I picked that scripture is because I was guilty of judging. I would be at church, and I would see people hooping and hollering, jumping around, and, you know, just going for it. And at the time, I did not understand. I was young. I did not understand. But it wasn't until one day I was sleeping, and God spoke to me in my sleep, and he explained to me why people were praising him. And the next day, it came to pass again. I didn't get the message, and I started judging again, and then it happened to me. God had to step on my toes and open my eyes, and I had to dance. He saved me from being in a car accident, and I got out of that car. I started hooping and hollering, praising God. Thank you, Jesus. And he was like, you didn't get me the first time when I spoke to you while you were asleep. Now I'm going to show you for real. So, yes. You do get your praise on. You jump up and down. People looking at you crazy, but they don't get it until you have a testimony. And then they will finally get the message.
You know, it's so interesting that you mentioned the testimony aspect of this, because that, for me, I'm just speaking for me personally, if I can go to church and hear the praise and worship songs and they move me, which they often do, and then hear testimonies, you know, I can, after that, I can catch a sermonette, or I won't even need a sermon, because that praise and worship and those testimonies is what will move me. And it's like, it makes me want to get my praise on. It's like, God, you know what? I just feel like I want to just be in your presence all the time, because of, you know, now I hear how the praise songs move you. And then to hear people's testimonies, how God has delivered them from something or taken them to another level, it's just awesome. Just remarkable. So when you mention testimony, that's very important to me as well. So when it comes to, should it be our position, Lady Love, to reprimand someone? Or I know you say that you were guilty of judging. Should someone have reached out to you at that time and said, listen, that's not something you should be doing?
They did, but I didn't listen. I just felt they didn't know what they were talking about. So, but it did happen to me. And, yes, I did correct my children when my children did the same exact thing that I did. I pray that they got it. They have not told me yet.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. Let's go to Monica. Monica, let's bring you back in. And, Monica, I want to take a look at this now and judging. I mean, when we use the word judging, could we be judging people on anything unaware? Could we have our own – could judging be also fit in with the synonym of prejudice and bias, judging?
Well, if we do, Dr. Walker, then we need to get it together, because the Bible straight up said it's clear, plain, and it's what it is. We should not judge. I'm a singer, and I go to a lot of different churches, and I mean, I said before, I'm a loud praiser. But I see people, you know, worship differently, and I don't judge them. I can't judge them, because, like I said, I'll never look up for the text. I know it's somewhere in Corinthians that says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. No, absolutely. Everybody experience is different. everybody is not at the same level, is not on the same level spiritually. So absolutely, we cannot judge people for how they worship, because it's out of our heart that praises comes from. And if I associate with different people because I really love to share my faith. But no, absolutely, you can't judge people you said something about prejudice. Prejudice.
Yeah. Right. Right. Prejudice or biases. Yes. Can that word judging be synonymous with prejudice or bias? It's like, okay, I'm looking, you know, for example, you begin to look at, let's say if you're a teacher and this person walks into your classroom that looks unkept. Let's say you're a middle school teacher and this person walks into your classroom and they're pretty much unkept. And all of a sudden, as a teacher, you know professionally you're not supposed to judge them, but you find yourself, you know, with your colleagues during the lunchtime saying, "Listen, I had this boy come in my room. He was smelling, and he looked like he was homeless. And I couldn't take that smell, so I sent the kids out to recess." You know, that's the prejudice. That's the bias. But it turns out that little boy was homeless, you know, with his mother, a single mother, homeless. And he wanted his education, and all the kids, you know how kids are going to be. They're going to talk about him and run away from him. But the fact of the matter is, even the teacher, an adult, and I've seen this happen, the teacher was no different than the kids, because she's there with her colleagues or he's there with his colleagues talking about that very kid. But it turns out that when that kid had a meal, they saw him in the cafeteria eating like he had not had a meal in days, which he probably hadn't. And then it turns out that little boy turned out to be one of the smartest kids in the school. But we judged him, you know, we tend to judge them just by how they look. That's what I mean by the prejudices or the biases. So, Monica, do you think that that's fair? What if God looked at us that way? Huh? None of us would be here. Your thoughts.
Have mercy, Dr. Walker. I can identify exactly with what you're saying because I'm an educator myself, and I've had that experience over and over where even my colleagues look down up on me because I would treat, I would not exercise bias to any student because they are different. I've had students who really wasn't even smelling good, and you know, other colleagues are like not really kind to them. And I've even been told that, you know, I like to take up for people too much, but I'm like, you don't know what's going on at home. And you know what? The truth is, everybody is special to me because love is something, if you give it away, it will come right back to you. And those other students, I'm telling you, that look out. When teachers' appreciation, you know, time comes around, we just really have to be careful as people what we do to others, because the Bible said, whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. And if you don't love other people who are less fortunate than you, who you don't know, you know, like sometimes I see people on the street begging, and I'm like, had it not been for the grace of God, had it not been for God's mercy, I probably would have been in that same situation or worse. So we just have to be careful how we treat people. We cannot judge anybody, because Dr. Walker read a story about the pastor who was going to take over this new church, and he visited like an old raggedy homeless person, and he was treated badly. And next week he came out dressed up, and everybody was so nice to him. And when he told the story that, hey, it was me last week. You know, we just we just have to change.
I saw that video as well. No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I saw that video as well, and you're right. And it makes you think. All of a sudden now I'm raggedy, and you don't want to pay me any attention, just like the little boy. So you're right. We have to be careful. We're going to ask you to stand by, Monica. Let's go to phone lines once again. Let's go to 856-316, 856-316. Welcome, you're live on your one-hour inspirational program. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Dr. Walker. This is Deborah. I just would like to say, when I see something like that, I often think about Deborah, by the grace of God go I. And so I know that God found some type of favor with me so that I could have been in that same situation. But for some reason, God saw some favor with me, and I didn't go that direction. So I always never try to look down on somebody and think that I'm more or they are less, but how can I help? And I think as a Christian, that's where we should be. And talking about praise and worship, I'm a praise and worship leader at my church.
Okay.
And so I'm a praiser, and I love praise and worship. I always have. Even growing up. And then that was one gentleman that just was speaking, and he said that he was, you know, raised like up in a missionary Baptist church, and they was very lively.
Right.
I was
right.
raised up in a missionary Baptist church, and they was dead. And I mean,
oh,
dead. And I didn't have a choice because my parents made me go there. Not that
right.
I wanted to go there, but they. But my grandmother, who was more Pentecostal, would come to town, and I knew
okay.
that at that point I was going to go to a Pentecostal church because she was going to find a Pentecostal church to go to, and so that's where I learned how to praise the Lord and how it felt
Amen.
To praise Him and to be in His presence. And I just
right.
want to say, y'all, as a praise and worship leader, it is so hard when we are up there and we're trying to usher in the Holy Spirit, and we look out, and everybody's just sitting there looking like it's a show. Praise and worship is not a show. It is not for you to sit there and look and listen and look and just look and nothing. It's about giving God praise and worship
yeah.
for what He's done, what He's going to continue to do in your
wow.
life. We're going to praise Him right now for what He's
wow.
going to do in the future. We don't even know what He's going to do in the future, but I know it's going to be something good. I know it's going to be something that's needed in my life. And so I'm going to praise Him now while I have the chance. He said, if you don't, the rocks will. So the rocks are going to praise God for me. I'm going to praise God. Why have
oh,
I
you...
So that is the way that's the way I feel about praise and worship. I'm going through something now, but I know God is going to bring me out on the other side, so I'm going to praise Him now. I don't even have to be out on the other side. I know I'm going to come out on the other side. And so I just want to give Him praise now.
You know, that is so wonderful, and I thank you for sharing that with us because, you know, I agree with you. That's what praise and worship needs to be. But I see so many people like they're the elitists and they're so sophisticated that they look at you when you're getting your praise and worship on. They begin to judge you and like, oh, what are they doing now? How dare them stand up and wave their hand? How dare them cry, you know, in this sanctuary? You know, and it's like, what is wrong with the people? What is wrong with the people when, you know, it's almost as if they've reached this latitude of where they sit on the right hand of God and it's about judging everybody else. And when somebody is shouting, like Stephen said earlier, you know, you don't know what God has done for these people, you know, that brought you through something. And it's like, God, I just got to praise you. I could have stayed home and did some things, but I wanted to come out and let the world know. Deborah, do you think sometimes people should just stay home and do their praise and worship? Or get out and let the world know that God has really brought me through something? Praise and worship to me goes hand in hand with testimonies. What are your thoughts on that as a praise and worship leader?
Amen. Amen. And that's the thing about praise and worship is that you can always, if you think about it, there are things that I know that I went through, Dr. Walker, that it wasn't man who brought me out of. I knew there was no way But I know that God made a way, and there are some miracles that has happened in my life. So we are overcome by each other's testimony, so that when I can get up and I can share my testimony, and there's somebody in the congregation who may be going through the same thing that I've just went through, just knowing that God has brought me through it, and I'm telling them, if God can bring me through it, I know he can bring you through it. You know what? I know that I don't always smell good in God's nostrils either. So therefore, we can't think that we are just so holy and thou that we just now made it over. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's a work in progress. It's an everyday. It's a walk by faith. And that's
sure
what
is.
You got to have. And so we overcome by each other's testimony. I love to hear people's testimony because I know
too.
That if God can do it for them, he can do it for me. Same God.
Mm-hmm.
Same God.
I love that, too. I love that. We're going to ask you to stand by, Deborah. Stephen, let's bring you back in. Lady Love, we're going to come to you momentarily. Stephen, let's bring you back in. And when we talk about this praise and this worship, and I mean, do we need sometimes, sometimes I don't even have to have a sermon after the praise and worship. I don't have to have a sermon after the testimonies, especially. Because it's like, now I've seen what God is doing for people. Stephen, your thoughts?
Well, God has done so much for me, it'll take probably a couple of days to me explain it. And, you know, everyone has a different level of emotion. Everybody's not as emotional. And you don't normally see men, you know, shouting and stuff like that. It's mostly you see women. But men have feelings and keep it inside. But God has done so much for me that I'm going to express it. And sometimes I'll be at church and tears will come to my eyes. Instead
Mine
of jumping
too.
Up and down, tears will water and come to my eyes because, you know, you realize, you think about the things that how God has been good to you that you know, maybe not too many other people know, and I've seen tears come down my eyes, and I have to wipe my eyes real quick. I don't want anybody to see me crying. But, you know, as you get older, you become not to be ashamed of that. And, you know, you'll go out, and I share my experience with people individually. I don't, even a group like that. I've done it in groups and shared my experience. So I'm not ashamed as I used to be. I'm not ashamed of crying because, you know, they say the man ain't supposed to cry, but I've cried, boo-hoo cried in different occasions.
Right.
So we just have to be mature and understand and respect people's ways in reference to how they feel and what God gives them praise for, because everybody's different, and it just depends on your situation, what you've been through, and some people, you know, don't want to seem like no men. I'm speaking of men. Don't want to seem like no punk or nothing, crying, and don't want to express that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen men do it, and that's a good thing. And expression and getting it out is a good thing. Emotion, getting them out is a good thing. It relieves stress also. Praise God.
Right. You know, years ago, Michael Bazin, a radio show host also, he came out with the book Men Cry in the Dark. But let me tell you something.
Yes.
You mentioned about crying, and I have, when from the pulpit, when I preach on more than one occasion, I always carry two handkerchiefs in my coat pocket and also another one in my back pocket in case I get so excited the spirit is overcoming that I have to take off my coat. I know that I've got a handkerchief close by. And on a number of occasions, I can't even count them, that preaching from that pulpit, I've had to just pause because I'm up there boo-hoo crying. And it's like the Holy Spirit becomes so overwhelming that the sermon, you know, is like for me. I'm preaching to my, you know, looking in the mirror and saying, boy, this sermon was for you. And it just brings the tears of how good God is. So, you know, when we talk about praise and worship and even, you know, that Holy Spirit come upon you, you can't be the same. You're not going to be the same. Stephen, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. We're going to go to 561-396. Welcome to your one-hour inspiration program. Who do we have with us?
Good evening, Dr. Walker. Good evening, everybody. This is Beverly.
Beverly,
and
thank you for joining us. Go ahead.
Thank
I'm sorry.
You.
Go
so
ahead.
This is one of my topic that I love to talk about because I am a wild praise and worshiper. And I believe when people criticize people who praise and worship God, they don't know what it is like to be in need of something. And you know that you're not going to get it unless you praise God and give him what is due unto him. So they can criticize all they want. I've been into churches, and, you know, I've lived in a city where the church that I had to go because I didn't have a car was like a Baptist church. And the pastor would be sweating, he would be preaching, and I would sit there and just hold it down, and I would hold it down every week because nobody was shouting. And I can clearly remember one Sunday when I broke out. This lady broke out with me, and I'm like, oh, my God, I wonder how long she was holding it in. Because she's a member. I wasn't a member. And everybody right. was just staring at me. Like, I'm like, after when I was finished praising God, I see everybody looking around at me. I'm like, okay. But, you know, I've kept it for weeks, and I just couldn't hold it anymore. And I just started praising God. And after that, when I started going to church, people was free. They were praising God. I'm like, oh, my God, these people now are worshiping yeah. God. No, I think God needs to be worshipped. He's worthy.
Absolutely. Praise and worship. Yes. And I mean, I would get there early enough just for the praise and worship. And it's like, that's a time when the Spirit is coming in, and it's like, oh, my goodness, and you're in tune with that. Lady Love, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second, Beverly. Lady Love, let's bring you back in here. And, I mean, I can feel the Spirit now, you know, particularly as each one of you all are commenting, and Deborah being a praise and worship leader. I mean, I'm just touched by the fact that she's a praise and worship leader. Lady Love, talk to us.
She has me speechless. I'm just sitting here listening. Psalms 150 says, praise the Lord. Praise the God in the sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his superpassing greatness. Praise him for his surroundings with trumpets. Praise him with the harps and lyre. Praise him with timbrels and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with surrounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you?
That means that he's real. That every time I praise him, I'm giving him thanks for everything he has done for me, because I can't thank him no other way. Praising him is the only way that, and keep his commandments, just praise him and show him how grateful I am, because he has everything. He needs nothing. So by praise is showing him how grateful I am from my heart.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, let's bring in Monica. Monica, let me ask you, when people are going through something, you know, it can be an illness. It can be a family member or a close friend that's on their, let's say, their deathbed, and you've been praying to God for deliverance of that person or for yourself. Do you find, Monica, that it's hard to praise God at that time because it doesn't look like the person is getting any better? And even when they, Steve, we're going to come to you with the same question in a moment, and it seems like they're not even getting any better, and even they pass away. How do you find the strength to praise God when you had the faith that he was going to deliver this person?
Dr. Walker, I've had that experience multiple times.
Okay.
Multiple times. Even very close loved ones. It's a hard time. But praise for me is just natural. I'm just a natural praiser. I wanted to take this to another level. I wanted to talk about the sermon you were talking about, but it's like Lady Love just read. In everything, we've got to praise the Lord when things.
Mm-hmm.
When things are not going the way you plan, when things are not going the way you hope, when things are just going wrong, we should just continue to praise the Lord, because it's by praising the Lord that the blessing, praising the Lord that you're going to get that breakthrough. It's by praising the Lord that you're going to get that comfort, whether however God answers your prayers. You see, God knows what is best for us. God knows how is best for us. God knows when. God just knows what to do. And if we trust him, we will just receive the power of the anointing to continue to praise him, because it's just so refreshing. Even right now, Dr. Amwaka, like you said, I'm feeling the spirit every time I get on the show. It's a blessing for me, and I just keep praising the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Steve, we guys should stand by. We're so happy to hear that, Monica. Stephen, let's bring you in and ask you that question. I mean, when your prayer seems like it just hasn't been answered and you exercise your faith as you know it, how do you find the strength? And Beverly, we want to bring you in, if you don't mind sharing that, as well as Deborah. How do you find the strength to say, well, God, you know, this is difficult. This is difficult, but I'm going to praise you anyway. How do you find that? And we've got callers here and listeners that you're ministering to them right now as you talk about this. How do you find that strength, Stephen? Maybe you're on mute. Let's bring in Beverly. Let's bring you in, then we'll bring Deborah. Beverly, go ahead. How do you find that strength? And you're saying,
okay,
you know,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. When it's a natural thing, I believe, when it's a natural building thing in you to worship and praise the Lord. Oh, am I on?
Yeah, go ahead. You're live. Go ahead.
Okay. I believe when it's a natural thing for someone to worship the Lord, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Even because, you know, I could tell stories of what I've been through. I've been through some rough times. And when I say rough times, I mean rough times. But through it all, I still would go to church. And even though sometimes I would go to church mad, I would still, by time praise and worship start, the Holy Ghost would just take over.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody would be sitting quiet. And when I start igniting, I just hear the whole church on fire. And I think that is what God looks for, is that when, even though we're going through those times when we think we're not going to make it, and we praise him, he starts being like, okay, I see you. No, I think in season and out in season, we have to remember that God is real. No matter what we're going through, God is real, and he's God, and he'll never change no matter what. So
I think
praise and worship should be constant.
Okay, all right. Deborah, let's bring you in. If you can tell us, how do you, you know, get the strength to praise God when the things, and as Lady Love said earlier, she's going to praise him for the things he's done, the things he hasn't done, and the things he's going to do in the future. How do you just, when you were talking about somebody who's sick and God hasn't healed them for you, how do you get that praise on? We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to 305-769 momentarily. But, Deborah, let's get your thought on that.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. I love that question. That is when you push your way through. Because I would be lying to you if I say that, you know, on a Sunday, every Sunday I get up there, I want to do praise and worship. I would be lying, because I don't. There are times when I say, God, I just don't feel like doing this Sunday. But I tell you what, God's expectation of me is to do his will. And I want to do his will. And so there are sometimes I have to push my way through. I just have to push my way through and praise my way out of that whatever I am going through and feeling. And that is what I tell people, even when you don't feel like praising, even when you think God is not hearing you, you know, even if you think God ain't going to work in your favor, you push your way through, because that is our faith, knowing that if he don't, I'm like the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. If he don't deliver me, see, I know he can. And that is what we have to live on. If he don't do it, I know he can do it. And so that's my faith. And so that's what I tell people, push. You got to push. Sometimes you got to just push. And the more you push, the more you know what? Burdens start to lift up off you, and your load gets a little light. Because he says, what do he say? He says, give me those burdens, and I'll bear them. We just have to learn how to give them to him and just push our way through.
Well, you know what, Ms. Deborah, I'm gonna put you out there on the spot just for a second, because when you say something, you just like Lady Love said, you know, the spirit comes on me. And it's like I've got a show coming up next Saturday. It's my International Divine Intervention Day. We launched it July 4th of this year, 2020, just a couple of months ago. And we did it for 12 hours. We're now doing it every month for 2 hours. You know, praise and worship begins at 6:30 in the morning to 7, and then we go into the International Divine Intervention Day, where we're praying that God will intervene into the humanitarian causes of man. And I'm going to put you out there and just, it just came into my spirit to ask you to say an inspirational word for us that morning, if you know, provided you're available. So just think about it. The Spirit will talk to you about it, and I can talk to you more about it, because I think you've got something that you can share with our audience for that day. It can be a 7 to 10 minute just inspirational word. So I'm putting it out there in advance. Lady Love, let me bring you in just before we go to 305-769. Lady Love, and before we go to Lady Love, I just want to say, in responding to the question that I was asking, I remember in 1994, I believe it was, that my mother was killed in a car accident. I got the call about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. She was supposed to have dinner at my house that evening. She made it her practice to come to her children's house and spend time with each one of us for about a month. And I was always the last one she would come to for whatever reason. And it was like, I don't know, save the best for last, I don't know. But she would always come to me last. And that evening, she was supposed to come and have dinner with me. And I believe she was on her way to the store to get some special items she wanted with my sister and 2 other nieces. Well, she never made it. And I got the call from another niece. And when that niece called me, I knew something had happened. And I told her, I say, something happened to Mama. And she said, yes, and she burst out crying. I went outside immediately from my home, and I began to hit the tree with my fist. And I can almost feel it right now. And I said, God, I don't know why you took my best friend, but I'm going to trust you where I can't trace you. I'm going to trust you where I can't trace you. And, you know, it's just like I had to, God brought my composure together to be strong for all the family members, and I had to get over there. And I could only see my mom in the car. She died of a heart attack in that car, and I couldn't even get to touch her and hug her one final time. And I remember I had to prepare to do her, to eulogize her, her funeral. And so when I asked the question, how do you get your praise on? How do you get your worship on when things like that happen? And I love what Sister Deborah has said here. And she said, you got to push through. And I'm sure that's what I had to do. I had to push through and say, God, I'm going to trust you where I can't trace you. And let me tell you something, that has carried me through. Lady Love, let's bring you in here. I mean, it's very difficult. What do you think?
She is correct. It is difficult. But again, those are the times that you have to trust him that he will pull you through. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. So even at the hardest times, he's going to be there by your side. So you have to just hang in there. Tomorrow we weep in the night, but joy comes in the morning.
In the morning. Amen. Amen, yes, to that. Let's go to 305-769. You're live on your 1 hour inspiration program. Who do we have with us, and welcome? 305-769.
Yes. Can y'all hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. This is Ms. Augustine. How y'all doing?
Thank you, Ms. Augustine, for joining us. Ms. Augustine, what's on your heart right now?
I want to thank y'all for this service tonight. I really needed to hear this. I really did. I'm one of those quiet praiser. I praise God in my house. I shout in my home. And sometimes God, the Spirit hit me in church, but I kind of just sit there quietly because, first of all, I can't see and I can't see what's going on. I can't tell when people are setting up or what they're doing. So sometimes when I think people are up shouting, I don't know. So what I do is I sit and I try to wait to see and feel what's going on around me. But then when I come home and I come in my house, and then I shout and I praise Him. And this topic that you're doing today is teaching me that no matter where I am, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to praise Him anyhow, no matter what, because He's done so much for me, so much for me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that with us. And Monica, let's bring you in. And just before Monica comes in, I want to share with you all that at about 7:59, 8 o'clock, we're going to transition for 30 minutes with the Bible study. And those of you all that want to stay with us only for 30 minutes, from 8 o'clock to 8:30 is a 30-minute Bible study. And tonight's topic will be, what makes you believe in a God? What makes you believe in a God? And I would love to, before any of you all leave us tonight, if you have time, just tell us, you know, at 8 o'clock when we transition here, what makes you believe in a God? You know, I mean, that's people have their various reasons. And then, of course, you've got atheists out here that don't believe in God. And then I have some questions that, you know, maybe some of you all have answers to, or maybe some of you all have even thought about yourself. So let's go ahead and bring Monica in. And Monica, while we're still on this subject, because should we judge people for how they get their praise on, has tonight's topic done anything for you? It certainly has for me. If so, what has it done for you?
Oh, I will begin by saying hallelujah, praise be the Lord. Like we all do have our different challenges every day, every week. What this program has done for me tonight and the previous nights that I have listened, it has strengthened my faith. It has, right now I'm being reminded that, you know what, it is true, it's really true that as you continue to praise the Lord, your strength will be renewed, your joy will be fulfilled. You know, I was listening to the caller, just encouraging us to continue to praise the Lord even when you don't understand it, even when you don't want to accept it. It is by praising the Lord. It is just by worshiping the Lord that you find that strength, that help that you need to overcome. Oh, in particular, I have reason to praise the Lord tonight because God just worked a miracle for me this week. This week, I mean, I've not worked over the past 3 months. I was able to pay my bills over the past 2 months. And this week, what God did, He hired me and paid me much more than I used to work for. And I just want to praise the Lord tonight because He looks beyond your faults and He sees your need. And that is something to praise the Lord for. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 Beverly, let's bring you in before I go back to Stephen next. Beverly, let's bring you in. And I want to ask this question. Should you praise the Lord even when you don't feel like it? I mean, I heard what Deborah say, that that's the time when you push through. But I mean, you know, we all have these emotions as humans, and sometimes we just don't feel like even getting on your knees to pray because something may not have gone the way that you wanted it to go. Someone may have upset you. So, Beverly, I mean, what gives you the motivation or the inspiration to say, well, God, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway? And then are you doing it from because it's like that's my routine, God, but or are you doing it? Are you going to Him really with the praise in your heart, the genuineness in your heart? Or are you like just following a ritual?
Well, no, I'm. It's not a ritual praising God. It's like a thing to do, and sometimes we're human. We don't feel like doing it, but because we know that God is real, and we don't know when He's gonna pop open that door that we're expecting Him to open, or we don't know when He's gonna show up and show out. We have to just praise Him anyway, praise Him anyhow, praise Him anywhere you are, just praise Him. I've been praising God in my car one day, and when I look around, I see people looking like, is she crazy? But I wasn't crazy. I was just praising God because it was just a moment that came for me to praise Him. So, you know, I think we should praise God in another season. He's worthy.
Uh-huh. Right. Stephen, thank you, Beverly, for sharing that with us. Stephen, we're going to bring you in, and I want to ask this question. What about the person who may be sitting next to you, and you look so sophisticated, and you like, well, you know what? Because that person is dressed real nice, I want to get my praise on and stand up and shout. But you know what? They might that might be a stranger, and they look so nice, and you don't want to look like some religious fanatic getting your praise on. Stephen, what do you do? What do you do personally? What do you do?
If I want to get my praise on, I don't care who's around me or whatever, I might get up and shout or get up and say amen. When the spirit hits you, I move. I don't worry about who's around me. If they don't like it, leave. I just get up, I might say amen, like, and that's what I feel. I believe in what I'm saying, I'm experiencing it, and if they don't want to deal with it, then they need to walk out and leave. Other than that, I'm going to say what I feel, amen, whether it's loud. And if I jump up, just like I would, if I saw a basketball team make a dunk, I'll jump up and say, praise God. I'm not worried about that.
Right. And I certainly can appreciate that. In about 2 minutes, we're going to transition to another topic. Lady Love, let me bring you in. Lady Love, did you have any final thoughts on this particular topic in terms of should we judge people because of how they get their praise on? I mean, that praise and worship, I mean, I am so touched by praise and worship. It's like, listen, I wake up every morning, and I can dance, and I don't even know how to dance, of course, but I can wake up every morning dancing, and I have my music that I will play on in the mornings, my praise music, and it's like it feeds my spirit. Lady Love, I mean, what can this do to people?
I agree with you, Dr. Walker. When you listen to praise and worship, it does uplift you. If you're feeling blue, it really takes you out of those moments. You could feel suicidal, and sometimes if you hear a praise and worship song, it'll change your mind. It'll make you look at the world in a total different way. It'll make you have compassion for your neighbor. It does so much for the soul and for humanity. So praise and worship is not just for God, it's for us as well.
Wow. It almost sounds like when we talk about forgiveness, it's not just for the other person, but it's for us. You know, when we talk about forgiveness, and, you know, that is such a powerful thing. And Ms. Augustine, let me bring you in. You know, and I heard that you say that you got something from this show, and I know that you say that you can't see and what's going on around you and how tonight's broadcast has blessed you to get your praise and worship on and not be mindful of it, like Stephen said, about who's watching or who's not watching. But, I mean, you never know. Sometimes when you're crying out, that is a testimony to somebody that's even unspoken. Yes, praise you, Lord. Thank you. Ms. Augustine, when you just shout it out, do you realize you're blessing somebody?
Oh, yes, I do that. But the thing is, I move, and I don't know who's on the right of me, and I don't know who's on the left of me. And then I have stepped on people's toes, and they say, watch what you're doing. Can't you see? You know, they're not compassionate because I don't look like I can't see. So then they say things like that. So if I hit one on the right, what's your problem? You blind? And so that's why I start stifling it, you know. But it has got to the point where I can't anymore. But then when I'm in my house or in my yard, I'm in my house. My I praise him so much. And then my son, I'd be outside in the yard. My son asked me, Mom, do I need to call somebody? Do I need to call fire rescue? You
know? Right.
But only sighted people don't understand that when they see a person who can't see. And when we moving around or flapping around, we don't see you. And
they don't understand.
And then even with my cane, they don't understand what the cane means. So they just say, what's your problem?
What?
You know, what's your problem?
That is, ignorance is something else. Ignorance is something else. When people don't know, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. You know, we're this particular segment of our show, we're out of time on that one. We're going to transition right now. Those of you all that can stay with us, we would appreciate it. We're going to just go for only another 30 minutes, and we're transitioning now. Lord, we invite you into the presence of this Bible study, and this will be on select Friday nights. And as we go to this transition, we're asking the questions, and we would appreciate those of you all that can stay with us for the next 29, 30 minutes. And we were asking, what makes you believe in a God whom you can't even see, a God you can't touch, you know, and there are other components that have happened in our lives. What makes you a believer? And so, Lady Love, if you're still with us, I want to start by saying that what makes me a believer is the fact that creation is so. A Big Bang Theory didn't cause this. I'm sorry, science. The Big Bang Theory just didn't cause this. And if it was a Big Bang Theory, it was God's spoken word that created it into existence. That was the Big Bang Theory. But everything is too organized. The system I'm talking about, I'm not talking about man's system. I'm talking about God's system of his universe, his cosmos, his the centrifugal force that keeps everything in place. That's a system in and of itself. And the sun being 93 million miles away from us, enough miles away from us that we can still feel the presence of the sun, and yet we're protected by the rays out there. We're protected by the shield that God has put in place. The moon being 240,000 miles away from us, that gives us night light. So, it's like something greater than a human being. You know, that looks like me or acts like me, something greater than my being put this into existence. Lady Love, let me start with you and ask, and we would love to hear from all of you all, you know, because I think that this is a topic, a study to say, well, this is why I believe, because as you speak, you're blessing someone else that may have doubt or reservation out there. Lady Love, what makes you believe in a God?
What makes me believe, Dr. Walker? Seeing the birth of my child, nothing but God could have created something so amazing where everything is just functioning on its own. You know, even you just can't fathom it. To bring life into this world like this, and it makes me a believer. And when I pray, I know he hears my prayers because they come to pass. So that's what makes me a believer. I see it in action.
Okay. All right. Let's bring in Deborah. Deborah, let me bring you in if you're still with us, and I want to ask the question here. And we'd love to hear some of the others of you all as well. Deborah, I mean, here we are, and I'm a man of color, and I just want to ask this here. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult when you begin to see the things that are happening on this planet to men of color. And then you begin to look at the history of, let's say, bondage and slavery for over 400 plus years. And then, you know, and I know we've got listeners out there around the world who are listening to this broadcast. What would make someone believe in a God, in a God that allows slavery for 400 plus years? You know, how do you help someone with that, Deborah?
And Dr. Walker, it is something that I struggle with myself. is I don't know why. I just know he's a sovereign God, and he can do whatever he wants to do. He requires us to have faith in him. I don't know. When we look at the kids that were in cages, and I say, God, how can you allow them to separate families like that and have kids in cages? And I don't know, but I do know that I pray for those kids, and I pray that God will soften the hearts of people that can do that. I don't know why he does things. And when we're talking about how I believe or how do I know that makes me believe in God, and I don't want to think that it was just because I was raised up in the church and, like, I was just from you know, me even understanding who I was always raised up in the church, always came up in the church. And I always knew that I was going to give my life to God. I always knew that. There was never a doubt in my mind. Even growing up, even as a teenager, when I wanted to do my own thing, and I wasn't ready to give my total self to God. I wasn't just ready. But I knew that I would one day. But it was just something in me that always just knew that he was, that he just is. And I just always believed that, and that belief never has left me at all, and I never wavered in my belief. And even the bad things that I've seen growing up and the bad things that's happened to me, I never once thought that there wasn't a God. That never entered the equation for me, never, ever. I always just believed he is because he is. And that's I don't know how people can think any other way. I just don't understand atheists. I just don't understand who you think, how you think our body is a miracle. I mean, we are a miracle. We are living. Our heart is pumping, and we are, and our body functions the way it's. Do we think that just happens, or is that by some kind of spiritual design? That's a spiritual design. So I don't understand people when they can't believe that it's a God. What else can there be? So I don't know. I don't know. I don't have all the answers to why God does what he do. I tell people when I get to heaven, I'll ask them.
You and the rest of us, I guess. You know, let's bring in Stephen. Let's ask, I mean, here, what makes you believe in a God when there's death can be imminent for some people? I mean, and then should we have a fear? And Lady Love, I'm going to bring you in and ask you for a scripture, and there's one on God did not give us the spirit of fear. So, Stephen, should we fear death?
I don't fear death. I don't fear death because I know one day I'm going to die, because I've seen many people die before me. You know, I don't want to die a painful and horrible death, but, you know, God is God, and my belief in him comes from, you know, originally when I was young, when I was told there was a God, a Father, God, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. So God
right.
is God. God is the big. God is the Big Bang. Boom. God is the Big Bang. There ain't no fear. God is the Big Bang. He created this earth, and the words that come out of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. I believe it was done by a superior being. And a lot of people do believe in a superior being, because I can't, there ain't no humans. Humans try to be God, trying to make Frankenstein, trying to make a human being. You know, who can, a baby, or how a baby is born? That's nothing but God. So, you know, people have a disillusion, and I'm not trying to think, you know, people going to think what they think, but I believe in God because he is what he is. You don't understand everything. If you try to understand everything about God, you're going to have a problem.
Right.
And I think that's what some people do, trying to understand what God is, what he thinks. Now, I ain't trying to do all that. I know he is who he is, the great I am, and praise God. That's the real deal, okay?
Okay.
Dr. Walker, yes. This is Deborah. I have a question.
Sure.
Did anybody else have a hard time with the, we know the Trinity is not in the Bible, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being all three, all in one. Did anybody else have a hard time with that? I went round and round with my mother. Because that just couldn't, I'm like, because Jesus was in the garden and he was praying to, how he going to be praying to, so I could not get it. I just couldn't get that concept. And finally, I had to bug my mom, and my mom said, listen, you just got to believe that it is.
You know,
anybody else had a problem with that?
I had a problem with that, and we're going to give the audience an opportunity to chime in as well. I did have a problem with that as well, because my thoughts were, how could God be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost? And I read the book a few years ago, even The Shack, right? The Shack. I don't know if any of you all have read The Shack. And it talks, I mean, if you haven't, I mean, it's an interesting read. But it was talking about this man whose daughter had died, and then, you know, they met Jesus and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it goes against some of my traditional beliefs. But it's like it was a little bit more confusing, but it showed at the end towards this, it showed that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost all are synchronized in their thinking. So one can't go against the other. And it's just, Deborah, to be honest with you, it was too deep, and it's still too deep for me to comprehend in my mortal state. And it's like, it's just a oneness. It's a oneness that we probably won't fully understand until we are in the presence of, you know, of the Trinity. Anybody else
Amen.
Want to chime in? Did you all have a hard time? Anybody else?
Dr. Walker.
Yes.
Monica.
Monica,
yes.
Go
how
ahead.
Do I, how do I
go
know
ahead.
That there's a God?
Right, and did you have a problem with the Trinity, too?
No, I don't. But how do I know there's a God? Because of all that he has done for me. All my life. I mean, I grew up, my parents were not there for me after a young age, and all the things that I've seen that could have happened to me, and I have been delivered from. There is a God. There is a God. And you know, the Bible said the fool said in his heart, there is no God. So unfortunately, it's sad, but God said, the word of God said we should not call anybody a fool. But God, because it has to be a bad thing for God to say not to call anybody a fool. But he says the fool said in his heart, there is no God. So you are really foolish not to. I mean, when you look out in nature, have you just any morning just wake up in spite of what is going on in our world today? Just look outside. I'm telling you, just look outside. Even right now, if you can look outside, and just look at the trees, look at the clouds, look at people walking by. There has to be a God. And you know what? He is worthy to be praised. And as long as I live, it's my desire to live for Jesus. And I do believe
Amen.
In the Trinity. The Father,
Amen.
The Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I could not live without that Holy Spirit that just keeps me out of trouble so many times. He leads me into all truth. I believe in God the Father, I believe in the Son, and I believe in the Holy Spirit, because all three of them have a significant purpose, and they fulfill it every day in my life.
Right.
Dr. Walker.
Yeah.
Dr. Walker.
Uh-huh. Stephen, go ahead.
This is Steve. Genesis,
yes, Steve.
Genesis chapter 1, 26. This is what made me feel there was more than one thing. And God said, let us make man in our own image. The
yeah.
key word
right.
there, let us.
Us
means
right.
more than one. Hello. Come on, somebody.
Right.
Us means
right.
more than
right.
one. He didn't say let
right.
me or let God. He said let us make man in our image. That's plural to me. Help me, somebody. Come on, help me.
Right, right. You're right, Deborah. Let's bring you back in. Deborah, I'm sure you've heard that one before. Let us create man in our own image, after our likeness, after our character. Deborah, I'm sure your mother presented or introduced that one to you. What did you say when she said that?
Okay, but it's like, okay, so how a pastor introduced it to me one time was like a hard-boiled egg. Where you have, you know, you have the shell, then you have the white, and then you have the yolk, and it's all one egg. It is just all one egg. And that's how he presented the Trinity to me. It's that they are all there together. And somebody said they can't go against each other. You know what I'm saying? Because they all think alike. And so I still struggle with that. And I know he said, you know, let's make man. I know it was us. He said us. So there had to be more than just him. It was us in our image. So, but it's a mystery. It's still a mystery to me, but I believe. You know, I do like my mother say, you just got to believe. It is, and I just, because the words say so, I believe.
You know, I don't share this very often, but I will share. I think it would be fitting for tonight's broadcast. My PhD is in human science and theocentric psychology. Human science, these are disciplines of themselves, and so it would have taken me 6 years basically to complete the course, but praise God, I was able to do it in 4 years, where if I had just gone one of those routes, it would have only taken about 3 years. But what I wanted to do was, human science deals with the physical, biological, spiritual, and social and political context of man. Theocentric psychology deals with an attempt to understand the mind of God, the nature and behavior of man, and how man disconnected and reconnects to his creator. And so I put those two fields together, and it took me a while to get into the university that I had to, you know, that I had to write a narrative, and it took 6 months for them to approve me to get in. And let me tell you something, in all my research about God, it's like you cannot understand the mind of God, the nature of God. You just can't. And that's where faith comes in, and you just got to believe that he is great and he will do what he says he's going to do, and he created it all. He really did. And I spent years researching mine, just like Stephen is saying. It's like I know that I there's no way. You're talking about a sun out there, as bright as that sun is, there is something so great and so powerful that none of us escaped this. And it's like, we didn't do it. No president, no powerful human being on this planet can do it. And it's like, something has it so organized. And when you look at the animals, and it's like, I've seen certain animals that I didn't even, it's like, where in the world would something like that come from? Even I'm discovering there are things, I mean, even underwater, there's things, it's like this is a world that we don't even realize how beautiful it is. Miss Lady Love, let's bring you in here. Lady Love, is there anything that fascinates you so much? We're about 12 minutes before we end tonight's broadcast. Is there anything that fascinates you so much that touches upon you saying, God, I can just look at your nature and go, I'm in awe of it? Like how great thou art, as Sandy Patty and others sing.
Yes. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That's what brought me to Florida, because I was so impressed with the flowers, with the trees, because I come from up north and all you see is, you know, concrete. So when I came to Florida and I looked at the grass and the flowers and the trees, and oh my God, it's just so beautiful. You can't say there's no God. The air that we breathe, to be able to breathe every day and smell the wonders of this earth, you cannot tell me there's not a God. So I wake up every day in heaven.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. Okay. Beverly, let's bring you in and ask you. He's real. Beverly, let's bring you in and ask, you know, God, we're going through COVID-19. Why are you allowing this? Is it our position to question God, Beverly? You know, I've heard growing up as a child that, oh, you know, your grandmother, don't question God. But several of the Bible prophets, they questioned God. And Stephen,
well,
I want to bring you in for that same question. Beverly, should we question God?
People do question God, and it's okay to question God, but when you know what God said, the scripture said in the last days perilous times will come, and, you know, we would be blind to not see that we're living in end of time days right now. And my thing, from COVID started taking over the world, I go right back to 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. The Lord said, if he sent all these diseases upon the earth, the locusts among his people, or pestilence, you know, to devour the land or whatever it was, he said, if his people who are called by his name should humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then will he hear from heaven, he will forgive our sins, and he will heal our land. So God is real. God is so real. There is no doubt in my heart. From a little girl, I was raised in church. I would step out of the house into church. We had no other life. So I believe God from a little girl that he is real, and I know he's still real today, and he's waiting for us as humans to just trust him with all our hearts. So, yes, he's real.
Okay.
And, you know, until we turn to him with all our hearts, COVID will live on.
Okay. Stephen and Ms. Augustine. Okay. We're going to bring Stephen in first, and then we're going to bring Ms. Augustine in. Stephen, who are we to question God?
Well, my thing is, I just talk with God in the cool of days. And if I want to ask him a question, I ask him, okay? I just talk with God, whether it's outside, in the backyard, on my knees praying. I just talk with him. So I never thought God had any particular thing to say, why am I asking this? I don't understand, Lord, so I'm going to ask you, help me out. You know, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm going to ask you what's going on. I don't understand. So I just talk with God in the cool of the day anytime I want to. Okay? Anytime. Because he's going to answer sooner or later.
Okay. So, Ms. Augustine, Stephen, we're going to ask you to stand by. Ms. Augustine, then we're going to go to 786-319. Give us a moment. Ms. Augustine. And,
yes.
And then, I mean, should we go to God like he's our ultimate parent? Like Stephen is saying, he talks to God in the cool of the day anytime he wants to, and God's going to eventually answer. But, I mean, a parent, don't you have an expectation from them, mama, daddy, you know, why I got to clean up the kitchen? You know, I cleaned the kitchen yesterday. Why I got to clean the kitchen the whole week? Why you can't just buy paper plates?
God is my father. God is my father. He's my all in all. He's my everything. So I can't do nothing but praise him and serve him. That's all I can do.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to 786-319. Who do we have on the air with us? And thank you for your patience. And who do we have with us?
Yeah. Hello, Dr. Walker, and to all your guests. I'm enjoying the show. So I just said I'll call in later on because I'm enjoying it so much. Well, when it comes to God, I believe in God. So this is Sister Marjorie. When it comes
to
God, you know, you're welcome. You know, I always believe in God. As a child, I went to church and praised the Lord and everything, and I talked to him a lot. I pray every day. I'll get up 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, no matter what time, I'll just get up and pray to the Lord. And then I pray for my family, then I pray for everybody. You know, so God is awesome. And as you said, when you look around and see the things that he have done, you know, people, how could you believe there's no God? You know, because I believe there's a God since I was small and always will believe, you know, because I've seen him work a lot of miracles in my life. And I've been through a lot, you know, and I thank God. And I pray to him and he answers my prayer. You know, so I believe there's a God. And what would, sometimes I just say to myself, what would the world look like if we all looked the same? I said, thank you, Lord, we all don't look the same. You know, everybody's yeah. made in their own image. You know, nobody,
right.
no two people, unless you're identical twins or something. Otherwise, we're all
right.
different. But I thank God, he has done so much, so much in my life.
Well, I have to, and thank you for sharing that with us, Ms. Margie.
You're
and
welcome.
I have to say, when you talk about we all, thank God we don't all look the same. I'm
oh,
so
yeah.
grateful to God. I'm so grateful to God that he didn't just make all males and all females. I'm so grateful to God that he made females.
That's
I
right.
am.
You would be a boring
Stephen, before,
world.
Yes, Stephen. Stephen, let's bring you in. How grateful are you that God made females?
Oh, I'm very grateful. Very grateful. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Like, I'm so grateful. I'm glad to make this all men.
I am too. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God
yeah.
for women. Thank God for you all.
Yeah.
You know, let me go here. Sister Love, how grateful are you that God, you know, you can pass on this question if you want to. Because you all might not think the same way about us as we think about you all. Ms. Love, let me ask you anyway, though, and Deborah, I want to ask you too. Ms. Love, how grateful are you that God made men, even in our imperfect state?
Dr. Walker, I am so grateful that God has made man, because if he did not make man, he would not have made woman.
Uh-huh.
That's
oh, he was amazing. Okay, I like that one.
Amen.
I like that one. I like that one. That's the best
yeah,
one I've heard.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Stephen, you like that one?
Oh, I love that one, man. That was amen.
I love
that
one.
That was great.
I love that one.
Amen.
Deborah, let's bring you in. How grateful are you that God made man?
I am delighted that God made man, and I was going to say the same thing to her. We came from man, so if he wouldn't have made man, we wouldn't be here. So I thank God
wow.
that he made man. I really
amen.
Do. And he didn't make just us women, because we can be some catty
right.
women. But
I'm glad you said it, and I didn't say it, and Stephen didn't say it, okay? I didn't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, but
so
these are the best answers I've heard forever, because I usually ask, you know, I usually take a survey and ask people, and women would often say, well, you know what, God didn't get it right until he made the woman. And I'm like, wow. But hearing you all tonight, Stephen, hearing them tonight restores my hope and say, Lord, thank you.
It's blown me away. I ain't never heard no answers like that. Lord,
that's what I'm saying. I've never heard these answers. I'm telling you, and I have been asking this question over 40 years. I've never heard the answers that have come out of these ladies' mouths tonight. You know,
that's right.
The show isn't over yet. Let me get at least one more in. Let's bring one more. Monica, how grateful. Monica, we're on a roll here. How grateful are you that God made man?
Ooh, hallelujah. I am telling you, I can't live without them. I used to say, I can't live with you and I can't live without you. God is such an awesome God. I thank God that he made man. Amen.
Three in a row. Praise God. Three in a row.
Three in a row. Amen.
Oh,
amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. I am so touched. You know, we're about to bring this show to a close, and you know, we're about to bring this show to a close. And so each week, let me ask you all, let me just get your opinions one at a time. And let's begin with Lady Love. Let me just ask you, Lady Love, would you like to see the Bible studies go on right after the show every week or every couple of weeks maybe? I'm just getting an opinion here. We're doing a survey.
Well, every week works for me. I'm grateful for it. I would say
okay.
yes.
All right. All right, that's a yes. All right, let's bring in Monica. Monica, how about you? Would you like to see the Bible studies continue right after the one-hour inspirational show every week or every 2 weeks? What works for you?
every week. I wouldn't say yes. I am saying yes. This was like an extra blessing for me, which I needed, and I thank God for it.
Amen. Amen.
All right. We got to bring in some deep subjects. Stephen, let's go to you. What would you do? You think every week? I mean,
every week is fine with me. This is enjoyable, man. Hearing these ladies,
Amen. Deborah, let me bring ask you. Yes, we will. Deborah, let me ask you. Would you like to see this go? I mean, it doesn't mean that everybody's committed to coming, of course. But whenever you can, would you think something like this needs to go on every week?
Absolutely. We're already here. Why not just go right into Bible study? You're already on the line. Amen. I'm for it.
Amen. Thank you very much for that. Beverly, let's bring you in and get your thoughts on that. Every week?
I'm fine with it every week or whenever time I can come out and make it. Yes, it's fine. Thank you.
Amen. Ms. Augustine, let's bring you in and let me ask you, every week, I mean, and it doesn't mean that you're committed to this, you just come in whenever you can, but pass the word along because somebody might need this.
Oh, no, I need to be blessed every week. This is a blessing, a true blessing for me. Thank God y'all have blessed me tonight, every week. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Sister Marjorie, let's bring you in. Your thoughts, and we're out of time from there. Sister Marjorie, every week to you
yes.
as well?
Yes. Every week, and thank God for men, because without men, we wouldn't have any children. Men and women together.
Come on. Amen. I love this group. Amen. Amen. Lady Love, we're going to give you the final. Amen. Lady Love, we'll give you the final thought. Do you have anything that you would like to close us out with, any scripture, anything that you want to close us out with, Lady Love?
Well, I don't have a scripture, Dr. Walker, but I do want to say thank you for all of the people that are part of this podcast today. It has touched my heart. I feel blessed. I hope everyone else feels blessed.
Yes.
And I look forward to becoming great friends with everyone. Thank you so much.
Yes. Amen. 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 On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank you all for your patience and thank you all for staying with us for as long as you have. Join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday show, join us back here next Friday for your one-hour inspiration program followed by the Bible study. We're going to have a very deep topic. And if some of you all have a topic that you want to learn things about, like the Trinity that Deborah brought up, please send me a text message or an email. You can go to drjesswalker.com or any of my websites, or send it. Those of you all that may have my number, you can send that to me as well, and we will gladly do those topics for you. Listen, until next Friday or until next Thursday or next Friday, I want to say to all my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
God bless you all. Great show as usual.
Great show.
Amen. You all stay safe and be blessed.